You said that the 2000 election between Bush and Gore at the time was not won by either one. Tell me about that.
That's right. And the same can be is true of the Franken-Coleman campaign also in 2008. The problem was that in Florida, out of 6 million votes, it was eventually decided by 527. This is, say, about 0.009% different between the two candidates. That's like the difference between a 6-foot-tall person and another 6-foot-tall person.
Who has higher hair.
Yes, it's the width of a human hair is the difference. The two candidates, from any objective standpoint where you measure them, are incredibly close. And the question is, can you tell them apart? And that depends on how good you are at measuring things. And it turns out, with voting, we're not very good at all. The Florida ballots were obviously, the counting was terrible. The punch cards didn't work. It was just a disaster. There were errors on the order of a couple of percent. In Minnesota, in Coleman-Franken, things were a lot better. This was a really well-run election, and it was all the same type of ballot, Scantron. They filled it out the same way. It turns out that even there, the errors in counting, I was able to derive a number from this by looking at the count and the recount, is on the order of a couple of hundredths of a percent. That is, no matter how careful you are, if you are counting a large number of objects, you're going to make these errors on the order of a couple of fractions of a percent. And if these errors are so much larger than the difference between the two candidates, then, in fact, the difference between the two candidates is illusory. It's like standing across the room and eyeballing these 2 6-foot characters and saying the one on the left is a little bit higher when you can't really see that with your eyeballs. So I would argue that the 527 votes separating Bush and Gore, just like the 312 votes that separated Colvin and Franken, is a fiction. It's not a real number. And this goes back to our earlier discussions about thinking that numbers are more precise than they actually are. It turns out that we don't have the ability to tell these votes with that level of precision. So, from a mathematical point of view, you can't tell the difference between the two candidates, and as a result, you have to treat it as a tie. And it turns out both Minnesota and Florida had the same procedure for determining who won a tie vote. And that is, you flip a coin.
Yeah.
Well, and so it would not have been a satisifying outcome. It would have been, it would have been very depressing to determine the president by the flip of a coin, but at least it would be something that would be equally unsatisfying to both parties. And it would have been fair, and it would have been in the law.
You talk about some statistics involving Hurricane Katrina. Tell me about that.
Yeah. In the week after Hurricane Katrina, there was an AP poll, a nationwide poll, asking about charitable giving. And it turns out that the vast majority of households, I think it was about 60-some-odd percent, had already given money to Katrina charities, according to the poll. Now, the problem with that is, if you look at kind of the average donation size and the number of households in the country, you'd come up with a number of several billion dollars that would have already been given to Katrina charities. In fact, the real number was on the order of a couple of hundred million. So people were lying. And this goes back again to the idea. People lie all the time. It's just human nature. Whenever you're confronted with somebody, if you're never going to meet them again, some random person with a clipboard, you're going to give them the answers that you think makes you look good. We all want to be liked. We all want to be thought of as a nice person, and so we will gently lie to make ourselves look good. And this is something that plagues polls all the time, and
especially these exit polls now.
Yeah, exit polls. People will lie to say that they support one candidate when they don't want to look bad and admit that they voted for someone else. Or, in fact, one of the interesting things that happens with fringe candidates, the candidates that have a small following, is that their ardent supporters will hang out until they get picked up by an exit pollster. This happened a lot with Pat Buchanan. And as a result, he polled extremely well compared to the actual outcome at the polls. It looked like he was a strong contender to beat Bob Dole, but it turned out it was not, because his followers were just gaming the polling system.
These numbers and these fudging of numbers must go all the way to some kind of political scientist or someone. There's got to be some think tank behind this.
Yeah, I think it is so widespread, and so many people have discovered it independently. I don't think you need a central authority to do it. But, think tanks are very good at putting out bogus numbers. Think tanks, consultants, public interest groups, they will either commission polls that are designed to show exactly what they want to show, and instead of trying to figure out what the public wants, tell the public what it wants, or conversely, they will do studies on their own and create numbers that are attempted to convince the public of something when in fact, not necessarily justified.
You say that some of this proofiness is used in a bizarre way as well. Like what?
Well, it's used by scientists to prove utterly bizarre things. Like one study published in Nature, if you took it to its extreme, would predict that women would run faster than the speed of light by the year 2600.
That's fast.
This was a very silly study, and it what it did was it looked at women's race times over time, and it saw that they were getting faster and faster and faster, drew a line through them, and projected forward. And the main point of the paper was that they were going to outpace male runners by the year 2156. But it's completely bogus, because this is an extrapolation which isn't justified. They're taking a straight line through data which doesn't fit a straight line. And Nature should have known better, because they published a study a decade earlier in 1992, which predicted that female runners will outpace male runners by the year 1998 in the marathon. And, of course, they did not. Another study is that people who wear red win sporting competitions more than people who wear blue. And so red gives you an advantage. In fact, that is not the case at all. There's no advantage one way or the other. Otherwise, every sporting team would be wearing red all the time now.
Some people fudge numbers in rallies, for example.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
200,000 people showed up when maybe 20,000 showed up.
Oh, this is constant. Any rally that there is of any significant size, people are going to be lying about the numbers. Most recently, Glenn Beck, and he had his rally on the Mall. He claimed 500,000 people when it was probably around 90,000, 80,000. That harkens back to Louis Farrakhan on the left, who claimed he had 1 million men at his Million Men March when it was probably about 400,000, something like that.